Be going in through a few weeks, the next few weeks, about a title called Experiencing God and how God is in amongst us, and his presence is everywhere. We just don't see it all the time. And so I want to kind of start us off this morning with a story that recently happened to me. As you all know, that Susan has been working with Sherry Springer at the Capitol, and she's engulfed in the session right now up there, and so she's up there every day during the week. And she has met a police officer that is a friend of Sherry Springer. And so he's come up and chatted with Sherry Springer and met Susan. And so the other day we were up there having breakfast or lunch with Susan. The kids were with me, and we were standing there saying our goodbyes. And this police officer, who is a captain, walks by, and he looks over at Susan, and then he sees me and the kids, and he keeps walking. Well, later he came up to Susan's office and said, "Is that your husband? Is his name Matt? Are his parents Brad and Marianne Coleman?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, Matt and I were best friends in grade school, and we used to have, you know, sleep over at each other's house and play Star Wars together and ride bikes." And she's looking at him thinking, "Are you serious? Are you joking?" I mean, because he's kind of a funny guy. And she said, he said, "No, I'm one of his best friends. I haven't seen him. I don't know what happened. Maybe I did something and he's no longer my friend. I don't know." So basically he texts me, calls me up. We get together this last week. And I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but it has been 30 years since I have seen this friend of mine. We went to grade school together. We went to junior high together. We went to high school together. So in amongst those schoolings, we were friends. And I went the skateboarding route, and he went the football route. So we just... We weren't best friends after high school. But this last week, I had lunch with him. We met in Salem, and he's taller than me, big guy. He's a captain, police officer. So he's not necessarily intimidating, but he is intimidating because he's got the uniform. He's walking in, and this guy walks over to me. His name's Tim Fox, and he gives me this huge bear hug. And it was awesome. We had these great, like Dave Wilson's bear hugs, right? We had this great conversation. We had lunch together, just talked about things. We told each other our lives, and it was such a joy. It was so exciting for me. It was like sitting there and having a conversation that never ended. It was like those pickup friends, you know, that you pick up where you left off. And so I was thinking about that experience, and I was thinking about how we have this God who wants to have a relationship with us, and he walks into the store, and he gives us this big bear hug, and he sits down, and he tells us all that he wants to tell us, and he listens to all that we want to tell him, and it's this relationship that he wants to have with us. But we have things that hinder us from that experience. Sometimes we get blinded. We don't see what God's doing. We don't trust Him. We don't know that He's really there. And so I want to delve into this idea that God wants us to experience more of Him. He wants us to know that He invites us into a relationship with Him, and that He has plans for us. Not just for us, but He's doing things already that He invites us in. And so we're going to look at that in the next few weeks. And if you've ever read Experiencing God, this is an amazing curriculum that Susan and I have gone through a couple different times. And in April, we're going to do a life group here at the church, life groups. And I want to encourage you to consider doing this. It's just a great curriculum to go through and to experience understand who God is and what He has for us. So Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the theme is experiencing God, to know God and to know Jesus Christ. See, knowing God is not program. It's not like a program. It's not systematic. It's not a method. It's a relationship with a person. And I think sometimes we approach this relationship with God with, okay, here's, I need to do this, this, and this to gain your approval. Or I need to do this, this, and this to get connected with you. And that's not what God wants us to realize. He wants us to realize that He invites us in to have a relationship with Him. And then He starts to tell us what He's doing and to join Him in that. Think about people in your life. Like I just explained, my best friend or your spouse, or maybe it's your grandchildren or your children. You have this relationship with them, and it's just this natural, you just hang out and you have this relationship. That's what God wants to invite you into. This Iron Mountain picture, if you've ever been to Iron Mountain, it's just a few miles up the road. About 2 years ago, I was trying to, study for a sermon. And sometimes my days are pretty flexible. And so I was thinking, well, instead of studying here, I'm going to go there. And as I'm driving to Iron Mountain, I'm sensing God calling me out of my normal routine, out of sitting at a desk, out of whatever I was doing, to go meet with Him. And it was, I don't know, you won't get this, but it was just amazing, because I went up to Iron Mountain. And it was springtime, and there was still snow on the ground, but it was springtime, and it was the most beautiful day I could ever describe to you. And I had my camera, and I had my dog, and that was it. And there was nobody around. I mean, I was there for 4 hours, and I didn't see a soul. And God drew me out, and he spoke to me, and he told me things, and he showed me His beauty, and I just want to let you know that He wants to have that experience with you too. Like, He wants to have a relationship with you. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for you, to have that relationship with you and those experiences with you. And so this is just one example of what, I will never forget that experience, that those times with God where He speaks to me. See, when we listen, when we hear Him, when we are connected to Him, He accomplishes things through us. He invites us in. John 15:5 says that Jesus says that He is the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So knowing God, experiencing God, He will work through you. Jesus came to give life and give life to the fullest. John 10:10. He has come to give us life, eternal life, abundant life, full life. Wouldn't you like to have life like that, where it is in the fullest? Well, you can. And here's the thing. Here's the clincher. If you're willing to obey Him, He will invite you in. If you're willing, and obey is a kind of a dirty word. But obeying is basically Him saying, "Hey, let's go do this. and he invites you to come with him. And you say, yes. I mean, think about what an awesome thing last week, the depiction of the disciples. And all those disciples, the stories of each and every one of those disciples, Jesus came to them and said, hey, come follow me. What did most of those passages say in the Bible? They got up and they followed him. And that's what God is wanting to do with you. He invites us in to that relationship. And so when we become a believer, when we say yes, when we go that direction, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in us and becomes our counselor and our teacher. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So where are you at? You may be frustrated. You may have had frustrating times in your spiritual journey. You may know that God has more abundant life for you, but somehow or some reason you haven't experienced it. You know it, but you haven't experienced it. Or you may be desiring God's direction in your life, and you just don't know how to get there or what to do. Or you're dealing with tragedy in your life and you don't know that God is with you during that time. That he's in the midst of your tragedy with you. Or maybe you're confused in a broken life and you don't know what to do. I'm going to ask my kids to come up here, and I know that I didn't tell them that they were going to come up here, but would you come up here and help me out for just a minute? I promise I won't hurt you. So, the reason why I did this spontaneous is because that's what God does sometimes. He says, hey, I want you to come with me and do this, and we don't know the details. But let's just pretend that Nathaniel is God. He's pretty tall, but and Anna is us, humans, right? And see, turn towards each other. See, this is what it looks like having a relation. Put your hands out and like you're talking. And, you know, you guys are listening and interacting and talking, right? But what happens is sometimes we go our own way and we go over here and then we put our hands out like this and we're like, why do I feel distant from you, God? And my question is, has God moved? No. God's still here. He's still got his arms out like this and say, I'm here. I want to have a relationship with you. And this person's over here going, where are you, God? I don't understand. Why are you so far away from me? All right, give them a hand. Thanks. But that's how we act. Like, God is always there. He's ever present. He is always inviting us to be a part of what He's doing and where He's at. And sometimes we're over here. And we're like, God, why are you so distant? It's because we've moved. We've walked away, or we're just in this fog and we're distant from Him because we have moved. So God wants you to join Him. Here are only the things that God can do. There are things in life that He only can do. For instance, coming to Sweet Home. God can only do that. He brought us here, my family here, not because of what I could have done or Susan could have done, but He brought us here through detours and different things like that. Only God could place my wife in a position as a city councilor to be a part of serving this town. Only God could have connected us with Sherry Springer, and then I was invited to do the prayer invocation at the House of Representatives, which was really cool. See, those are just examples. My question is, what are some things that only God can do that you have seen Him do in your life? So do you see it? As you go through life, you have a choice. You can participate in what God is doing, what He is over here doing. Come join me. Or you can choose to do your own thing over here. And you're just like, okay, I'm just going to do my own thing. And it's a choice you have. But He invites us in. If you choose to listen and follow, He says to trust Him, and He will give you abundant life. See, Jesus is the way. We forget that He said that in John 14:6. He says He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. And so if you are lost, if you are trying to figure out your way through life, maybe go back to that verse and realize that He is the way. He is the solution. And He will meet you where you are at, and He will guide you where you need to be. And so how do we do that? Well, spending time with Him and listening and praying and reading His Word. His Word is already written down, and it is telling us what He wants to do, what He is doing. And so pray and talk to Him and read His Word. It will draw you closer to Him. And Scripture will be your authority, and the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. You know, anything significant in your life happens because of a result of God's activity in your life. The only thing in your life that has significance is because of God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And so He is, and just think about this, He is so much more interested in your life than you and or I could ever be. That He is so much more interested in coming to you and inviting you into His kingdom and His will than you could ever be. And He invites us into that intimate relationship. And so I want to encourage you this morning to let the Spirit of God bring you into a more intimate relationship with God. To have this connection with Him, to invite you in. I want to encourage you as we go through this study and to think about after Easter, we're going to do the Experiencing God series together, is to do that in community. You know, typically we try and do things on our own. We're individualists. We just try and go through life without other resources or other people in our lives. And in community, we can help each other grow and pray for each other, encourage each other. And it builds unity and relationships and community. And sometimes we have blinders. And sometimes a person in our life can help us see those blind sides that we don't see. And so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. So sometimes when we get fixated on the tragedies in life, we've seen just in the last week, and it seems like consistently, we see tragedies. We see terrorist attacks. We see storms going through the United States or wherever in the world. We see people dying or health problems, or we see struggles in our relationships at work or in our families. And so sometimes we get fixated on those problems. And I thought of this after a lady from, well, she called into K-Love, and she was explaining the camera. And you know, the automatic camera has automatic focus, right? And if you put it on automatic focus, it will automatically focus on whatever you're pointing the camera at. But see, what happens is sometimes we put our lives into automatic focus. And we allow the focus to be on the wrong things. We allow our lives, we focus on the fear or the tragedies or whatever we want to focus on, the negatives. And what they have on these cameras, if you didn't know this, is they have a fixed focus where you can manually focus your camera on one thing and everything else kind of blurs out. Now, I'm not a professional photographer. I love photography because, that's a beautiful picture and it just shows God's creation and all this stuff. So the thing is, if we set our camera on the fixed thing, if we fixed it on Jesus, everything else would kind of fade away. And it's the same thing with all the things in this world. When we put our fixed focus on Jesus, then all the other things that we see or things go around us, we start to see Jesus in those situations, those circumstances. Through pain, through suffering. Like the video we started out with, it was a whole group of different things in life that we can experience God through and in. And He is in the difficult times as well. So one of the things I want you to write down or to remember is to ask the question, God, what are you doing? Throughout this next few weeks, what are you doing? What are you doing? And help me to see it. God is always at work doing something. So over the next 8 weeks, we're going to do, without Easter in there, but we're going to do seven realities. And next week we'll start on number one. But number one is God is always at work. God is always at work. He's always doing something. Number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Number three, God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. Number four, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Number five, God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief and requires faith and action. Which means that if God is here and you are here, you're going to find that you're going to have a crisis. And you're going to be like, whoa, wait a minute, I am not where I'm supposed to be. Or maybe you'll think that you're supposed to be where you want to be and God wants you over here. And there's a crisis. You have to have a decision to change. And it won't be easy to move, to adjust. And so that brings us to number six. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing. And number seven, you come to know God by experience as you obey Him, and He accomplishes His work through you. So you may have not written all those down. That's fine, because we're going to go through those in the next few weeks, and I'll bring them back up. So when we went to Washington, D.C., we got into the Uber car, and I realized that these drivers are from other countries. And there was one guy I asked, I said, so do you know how to get to the Capitol or whatever? I don't remember which it was. And no, I just follow the Google Maps. And I'm guessing it was maybe a mile away. And so I was thinking about this, how God, we typically come to God and we say, okay, I want to know what you want me to do, where you want me to go, who you want me to do it with, how you want me to do it, and then I want to see the results. I want to see what you've accomplished and all that. But the thing is, typically it's this response is what God wants us to say. One step at a time. And show me what to do and I will do it. When I was looking through the curriculum of experiencing God again, that was the question. How do you respond to this? Do you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? When do you want me to do it? How should I do it? Where should I do it? And that was, I chose that one. But really, the second one is the best one. Lord, just tell me what to do one step at a time, and I will do it. I'll pick on my kids just for another minute, and just in general, any kid would like to know what they're doing throughout the day or the next day. And so my kids will say, well, some of them throughout life have said, so what are we doing? And when are we doing it? And how are we getting there? And what vehicle are we taking? They want to know all the details. And sometimes we'll tell them. But see, God doesn't always tell us the details. He just says, I'm going to send you, and you're going to go. In that verse, Jesus says he is the way. He did not say, I'll show you the way. It did not say, I will give you a roadmap. It did not say, I will tell you which direction to head. He said, he was the way. And Jesus knows the way. And when he says he's the way, we should follow. And so if you were to do everything that Jesus told you to do one day at a time, do you suppose that you would always be right in the center of where God wants you to be? Maybe your response is this. No, Jesus doesn't really know God's will for my life. Or, no, Jesus might mislead me, and he might take me the wrong way. Or maybe it's this one. Well, Jesus would rather I wait until he tells me all the details before I start to follow him. My guess is it's more like this one, or this is the way it should be. Yes, if I follow Jesus one day at a time, I will be right in the center of God's will for my life. So when you get to the place where you trust Jesus to guide you one step at a time, you will find new freedom. You will find more peace. In fact, Matthew 6:33 through 34 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know that little song that we sing when we were kids? You know, maybe I just sang it, and some other people. But that song is, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Teach me today, show me the way, wherever you do. Right? Have you remember that song? And that song comes to mind when I think of this, that God wants to invite us in. He wants us to trust him. And then he just says, okay, take a step. Okay, now take another step. I'll give you this one last example of Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. It says that in Scripture. And what did God tell him to do? God didn't give him details. And let's look at that. Genesis 12:1-5. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And your name, or you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. Can you imagine? 75 walking through the desert? He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. So what did God say? How specific was he? He said, leave and go. And Abram asked the question, where? He says, I'll show you. God says, I'll show you where. Just start walking. So my question is, are you ready to follow Jesus like that? Are you ready to trust him and say, look, I can't do it. I cannot make the right choices. I've walked over here. I'm kind of lost. I'm doing my own thing. And you're over there. I'm going to come back here. I'm going to sit down and have coffee with you, God. And you're going to just tell me what to do. See, that's what God wants. Is he wants us to sit with him and listen to what he has to say. Because I tell you what, God is already at work. Doing things wherever you go. In fact, when we studied missions and we got ready to do mission work, and we've done short-term missions, time and time again, we would always hear this phrase or this statement. Don't go overseas thinking that you know everything and they don't. Don't go overseas and say, well, God's only working in my country and he's not working in your country, so therefore I need to show you what he's doing in my country so you can be better. I mean, that's pretty arrogant. No, God's already working there. In fact, when I went to Australia when I was 19, I guess I was humbled by the fact that he was already working there. And I was like, wow, God, people believe in God over here? That's cool. You see, God is already at work. He is already doing things. The thing that we have to decide is, are we going to join him? Or are we going to do our own thing over here? Let's end with a prayer from St. Patrick. I thought it was fitting for today. St. Patrick says, he wrote this prayer. As I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me. The power of God uphold me. The wisdom of God guide me. May the eye of God look before me. The ear of God hear me. The word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me. The way of God lie before me. The shield of God defend me. The host of God save me. May Christ shield me today. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit. Christ when I stand. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. And Christ in every ear that hears me. May Christ be the focus. Amen. Let me pray. Will you pray with me? Father, we have just begun. We've just gotten started with this this series called Experiencing God. And my prayer is that you would draw us in. Lord, I pray that we would be open and willing to have a relationship with you. Sometimes you are walking over to us and grabbing our hand and saying, hey, come with me. Follow me. And so I pray that we would see you today. I pray that we'd see you this week. We would see all that you're doing and we would join you in that. Lord, thank you for your word that continually reminds us of who you are, and it speaks truth into our lives, and we want to live by your word and your truth and your spirit. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts today and make us more like you, and that we would follow you every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.